Hey, what's up? This is Robert Kelly, and you're listening to Hater Nation on nothing. It's just out there. Dude, HaterNationShow.com, these are two swell guys. Even though they look very uncomfortable physically, one looks always wet, and the other one just looks like he's got just awful shit going on in a van, some fucking cold warehouse somewhere. His shoes suck, too. Really does. He's wearing Kenneth Cole's from 1985. They used to come with Z Cavaricci's and his Perry Ellis jeans and his stupid fucking pea coat makes me want to punch him right in the nuts. But no, enjoy the show. Hater Nation.
Hater Nation.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Need to remove the old out.
The Hater Nation podcast starts now.
What's the Hater Nation all about?
Come on, here we come. You know I got you. Yeah. One. Break the walls. Break down the walls.
Good. All right, ladies and germs, what's up? It's the Hater Nation show. It's MC holding the fort down himself. Special edition of the Hater Nation show. Based off of two things. Number one, our Star Wars preview show, which was going so fantastic. By the way, you can check it out at haternation.podbean.com. That went so well. In fact, it's our highest, I guess, hit episode ever. So very similar to Star Wars The Force Awakens. We're setting records at a record pace right now on the Hater Nation show. And number two, two different conversations I had with two friends of mine that all you guys out there know. I decided to have them on the show just to talk about it, because as much as both of these guys love Star Wars, they both have varying opinions about Star Wars The Force Awakens. So, let me introduce you to Paul Preston of the LA-based Movie Guys at The Movie Guys and MovieGuys.net. Paul, welcome back to the Hater Nation.
Hello, Hater Nation Nation.
And on the other side of the fence, we have the one and only Mr. Ashburn himself, Mr. Cashburn himself, owner, operator, proprietor of the Ashburn Pub, and owner of Comic Logic, the newest, hippest, coolest comic book store in the Northern Virginia area. Mr. Double Down himself, Kevin Bednarz, is with the Hater Nation.
What's up, MC? What's happening?
Chilling, baby, chilling. All right, so let's do this real quick, because I've offered my thoughts to whoever wanted to hear it. Paul, give me your give. This is going to be like a little debate without Donald Trump, believe it or not. And I want you to give me kind of your 30,000-foot view of Star Wars The Force Awakens, because I think some people might be kind of shocked, if not impressed or confused. They'll make your thoughts will make them think a little bit. So what were your thoughts on Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Well, I was disappointed. But here's how. I finally figured out how I watch movies, and it's emotionally. Right. So, but because I don't want to seem like a guy who goes in and nitpicks and watches from a critical eye and knows all about mise-en-scène and tries to see if the filmmaker employed it well or not. You know, I really went in just to, especially this movie. I mean, I wait 32 years waiting for the Jedi sequel. You know, I'm like, I went in emotionally and came out with no emotion. And so then it took the critical eye to go back in and saw it a second time to find out why. And it was sort of a CSI dissection of what filmmaking was employed or what choices were made by the filmmakers and the scriptwriters to make me have no emotion, because I was really upset that my wife asked me, what'd you think? And I went, it's good, I guess. And the biggest thing that worked against my loving it was a lack of originality. By now you've heard, you know, tons of haters come out of the woodwork about, you know, borrowing or homage to the earlier films.
Yes.
But I think that's got to be it as a main thing for me. I mean, I think I've outlived my ability to be impressed, as in I've seen most everything now. If I'm 12, everything they do in The Force Awakens is fresh and exciting and new. But, you know, from a bunch of stormtroopers, kill a bunch of rebel people, guy in a black outfit comes out, he's got a voice-altering mask, somebody puts something in a droid, sends it on a desert quest. I mean, it was so familiar that I think it's a super safe bet for the studio to go that route, but had less of an effect on me than I wanted it to.
Okay. Now, Kevin?
At the general thing, and then, of course, some details could be worked out, no doubt. We'll kick around this conversation.
Of course. Now, Kevin, you know, I saw you at the premiere over at One Loudon at the Alamo
right.
Draft House. You came out saying it kicked ass. JJ, you're a god. All right. Now, without addressing specifically, because we'll go into that in a second, but your 30,000-foot view and thought of Star Wars A Force Awakens.
You know what? I agree with a lot of things he said right there, though. I did walk out thinking it was awesome, and I think it was because I got to go to the movies and see my friends and people cheering and get to see the logo on the big screen. Obviously, we all know Disney and JJ went for the nostalgia, which is fine. You know, it is a Star Wars sequel, so expect Star Wars elements. I'm okay with that. But after seeing it a second time, I still loved it. I saw it with my kid, which made it nostalgic. Mm-hmm. But I got to agree that it didn't resonate that emotional pull like the first ones did, nor did it like any other movie. I remember when I saw The Usual Suspects, I saw it 3 times in a week because I couldn't figure it out and I had to go back and see it again. It was so amazing. Where this was, I had to go back just because. And don't get me wrong, I loved it. It made me feel like a kid again and all that. But after looking through it, as much as I loved it, I think they gave a little bit too much away in the trailers as well. A little bit. You know, when you really think about it, they didn't save much for us besides the trailers. So, again, I'm probably on the other end of the spectrum. I can't make a movie. I can't, you know, film anything close to what they did. So I appreciate art. And he made a piece of art that's perfect and safe for the fans, and I'll eat it up all day long. But I think we'll see better and more risk-taking in Episode 8 and Rogue One and stuff. So I enjoyed it, but I got to agree, as time has gone on, it didn't resonate as emotionally as hard as I thought it would.
Now, I also agree with both of you. Once again, like I think I spoke with Paul the afternoon that I watched it, and I posted it on Facebook, and you know, and that's, I guess, as a, I guess, an amateur reviewer, that's one of the worst things you can possibly do is immediately after you walk out of the theater,
right,
you just
right.
start typing and you start writing and texting, and you're like, and then I spoke with Paul, and not to say that Paul changed me, but I'm like, wait a minute, let me open my eyes, let me take a couple of hours. Let me have some lunch,
right.
let me have some dinner, and let me sit back. Wait a minute. He's right. You know, and it was kind of like this whole, and I didn't feel bad like, oh, I originally loved it, because I did love it. I loved, it was like Kevin said, and I joked about this at Alamo Drafthouse when everyone was going in, that I wish I could see the look on people's faces when that first logo pops up and the start of John Williams'
yeah.
theme pops up, because you're going to see tears, you're going to see smiles. What are you going to see after that, though? You know, are we going to be, are the faces going to be brought down like it did in Phantom Menace? Or would it be kind of a nice, even look at the movie? And I think a lot of people got so caught up in it. They saw the trailers. They loved the trailers. They loved the fact that they didn't give anything away, supposedly. And and everyone was being really cool about not spoiling it. So when you got there,
mm-hmm.
your initial view was a non-critical view. You know, I looked at it non-critically. I looked at it, you know, just, oh my God, I'm here with my two boys. This is Star Wars. You know, I'm thinking
right.
about the toys, thinking about, you know, having, I look over at my oldest every now and then, and he's smiling and giving me the thumbs up, you know. But yeah, you're right. There wasn't that emotional attachment I had with it. It was my fear, and this is the fear that I had for several months. Would it be just a movie? And were we all making it too big, where our expectations could not possibly be satisfied? You know, so. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Someone jump in on that.
No, and actually, you guys have said so much of like a million things I want to say in response to all that. But the charge is incredibly hard. I mean, Kevin is, I love the kind of moviegoer that goes, okay, I can't make a movie, so with that, I watch this. You know what I mean? Because yeah, none of us the charge to make this movie is such a tall order that, you know, I guess the more I first thought it was super cynical to go so safe, because it's like, hey, it's everything you already love, spend your money. And it seems like a you know, money grab to kind of do the same things you're in. And, but it also, a friend of mine told me that it's kind of a fan service. It's kind of like, look, we're good again.
Yeah,
right. We'll be great eventually, but we're back, right? And then by $1 billion later and critical reviews at the ass, they're back. And I want Star Wars back. So I'm excited to be back. I just wish I get more excited at this episode.
Yeah, and you know what? I think, and from my point of view too, again, I think that's okay. We knew probably they were going to play it safe, but that's not a bad thing. We have a lot more movies coming down the chute. I think Rogue One is going to be a sleeper badass hit, and just my opinion of what I'm hearing. And I think they're going to take more risks as JJ steps out and who is it, Rainn Wilson steps in. So I think we're going to get more of what we want. I think you're right. He laid down the foundation and said, I'm back. We're badass. Let's lay the groundwork and watch what we can do, because obviously Disney's got to turn this into a multi-billion-dollar franchise. But I was okay with it. And I tell you what, a couple points that I loved was I loved seeing the Millennium Falcon. I think Daisy Ridley was amazing. If you take her out of that movie is average or poor. I think she was amazing. I don't think we need to see Solo and Leia and all those old characters rehashing the stuff. It was great to see. Thank you very much. But now give me the new guys, because Daisy Ridley was riveting. And not to get into too many details, but I'm excited for the future. And I just need to see more Phasma, no more freaking Death Stars. Give me a little more Oscar Isaac.
No more trenches.
Take some risks. And I think in the long run, we'll look at these next three movies as, you know, what we wanted. And like I said, I'm okay with that. I mean, I had tears. I was cheering, you know. But like I said, once it settled in, I was like, all right, you got me. But you better come back with an Empire Strikes Back Episode 8 type shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. If I could jump on that point. Everyone says Empire is the best of all of them, right?
Right.
And that's because they brought you nothing you already saw. I mean, that movie's completely 180 from Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so then when they brought it back at Death Star and Jedi, people went, oh, well, that's kind of hack. And so 32 years later, I was just hoping they wouldn't do that again. I know it's a planet and it's a Starkiller base. It's really kind of, we're hunting for Luke Skywalker. Oh, let's blow up a Death Star because that's what you do in these movies. And I went, disappointed.
I see it as, it almost seemed as if, just like what you guys are saying, they wanted to give this new generation of viewers a primer. They wanted to give them, they didn't want to go Empire on them because it would be too dark. You'd scare the damn kids away. They wanted to give you something familiar just to kind of set you back to zero, because I guess everyone had a bad taste in their mouth about the prequels. So let's give you something familiar and quote unquote safe while also kind of, you know, taking it to another level. And by the way, folks, if we happen to spoil things, it's January 3rd. If you haven't seen the movie yet, shame on you. So trust me, I might just say things here and there. So yeah, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, we will be spoiling. So at this point, you can stop it. Thank you for the hit. You know, and then come back after you've watched it, and then you can listen to the rest of us talk. But I think that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to give you this kind of foundationless, okay, we're going to give you a lot, and I repeat, a lot of the same tropes that we gave you with the original three. We're going to give you the farm boy / girl stranded on a desert planet. We're going to have, you know, a trench. We're going to have a circular enemy, a Death Star type thing, you know, all these things. But then we're going to twist it up just to show you that, hey, this isn't Lucas anymore. This is Abrams. This is Disney. This is our look at A New Hope. You know, this was almost as if they were kind of like doing a carbon copy, kind of like how Star Trek, and I guess this is a bad example, Star Trek Into Darkness was kind of a ripoff of Khan with their own kind of quote-unquote slant to it. Like, they wanted A New Hope just to give you a nice base level, twisted things up with certain deaths here and there, added some new characters, and I felt it was a passing of the torch in a way, a continuation, and kind of seeing the major characters, some of them taking little bits off. Like, I don't think I'm going to see a lot of Leia in Episode 8. Of course, we're going to see a lot of Luke, and we know what's up with Han and Chewie, et cetera. So as let's move on to looking at the characters, because one of the things that Paul said to me, I very much did not agree with, even after sitting back and thinking about it, was Han Solo. Now, I don't want to misquote you, Paul, but give me your thoughts on Han Solo, the character in the movie.
Well, one of my favorite characters of all time, probably second to Indiana Jones. So, I mean, I cried more at the trailer release because I was at Celebration in Anaheim. And with 2,000 people, just we were going bananas, right?
Wow.
So I wanted to see Han Solo again. And when he came back, he was good. I thought he, I actually, when I saw it again, I thought Harrison Ford nailed the dramatic moments more than the fun time moments, which was interesting because, I mean, I guess that's a growth of a character.
Yeah.
But back in the day, when Han Solo was funny, he was just funny. And here, when he was funny, it seemed like he was working a little more, like he was being funny.
Yeah.
And so I wish you could even just take some of those moments out of the film. Granted, you want to have some humor, but the ones that didn't work for me, sadly, a lot involved Han Solo.
All right. Kevin, your thoughts on Solo.
And
I don't know your opinion.
And I thought we're going spoiler, right? We're spoiling, right?
Yeah, we're spoiling. Point,
spoiling.
I didn't want to be the first one to do it, but we are spoiling.
Yeah. But his death was forecast for me. I mean, and I was kind of disappointed in that. But a friend of mine said you could treat that moment more like a don't go in there moment. But obviously, he's walking out to a bridge. We've kind of pulled out the scores, and it's set up for sacrifice, which is noble, I suppose. But I don't know. I wish it was more of a shock. I would have had more of a reaction, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It
would have been more brutal.
Yeah. No one in that theater thought that Kylo Ben was going to say, okay, Dad, I'm joining you now. You know, let's stop this. Let's stop all the shenanigans. I'm back with you. I'm going back home to see Mom. You knew what was going to happen the minute you saw both of them in that kind of area together. Kevin, your thoughts on Solo?
Yeah, I didn't anticipate him being the majority, almost star of the movie, which I was hoping to see, honestly, a little less. I think it would have worked better. I agree. If Kylo Ren would have taken him back as his father and then someone else had killed Han, that would have been a nice twist because you all knew he was going to die.
Yeah.
I didn't like his appearance because when they got docked, when the Millennium Falcon got sucked up by his smuggler ship, you knew it was him. There was no dramatic entry because they spoiled it in the trailer. Anybody with half a brain knew, here it comes, Chewie, we're home. If they would have tried to disguise that, I think it would have changed everything. It would have changed our opinion of it. And I didn't like his hair. I thought it looked like a broom.
It's old man hair. It's old man space hair.
He was a badass, and now he's back to like smuggling rain darts or whatever those things were called.
Big ass scary animals.
You can count on the Hater Nation for Star Wars fashion and hair tip.
You damn well know
credibility, but again, I gotta always go back to it's just a movie, even though it's probably the biggest part of my life as I'm sitting in my office looking at all my Star Wars memorabilia from 77. That it's still cool as shit to see Han Solo on the big screen.
Oh yeah,
you know, and when they did it made the Kessel Run in 14 parsecs. If you didn't scream out 12, you're not a fan. And that was cool. So
now let's look at some of the newer characters. So you know, Paul, let's get your thoughts first on let's kind of group them as a three group. Poe Dameron, Oscar Isaacs, Daisy Ridley, of course, Rey, and then John Boyega as Finn. Give me your thoughts on the new blood of Star Wars. Then we'll do a separate thing on Kylo.
I love Oscar Isaac. I think he's an exciting and smart actor. You know, yes. He's been great in so many things. But you take Poe Dameron out of that movie's unchanged.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. So he doesn't have much of an impact. In fact, he goes away for 30 to 45 minutes. And when he comes back, well, I'm back. Let's go blow up the Death Star. Yeah. And I went, wait, what?
No answer so as to how he got off Jakku, by the way.
Say again?
No answer as to how he actually got off Jakku, since his ship was blown up. Just, hey, you know, I hitched a ride.
I'm wondering if, like, Rey's backstory, Poe's disappearance, and other things are going to be handled in a sequel, which will be strange because we've never had flashbacks and flash forwards in Star Wars before. But, you know, hey, a new thing, give it a shot. Because there's so many of those kinds of, I don't know if they're plot holes or just plot, you know, discrepancies where it's like, what is happening here? Shouldn't we know more, do more, have more information? It was odd for him to just disappear and then come back.
Yeah,
it didn't come back when Han Solo came back at the end of Star Wars. You know, he just kind of was there, and he comes around every once in a while for everyone to tell him and us what a great pilot he is, I guess. So that's him. John Boyega, that's the most interesting thing in the movie, the rebellious stormtrooper character. I thought that was pretty cool. And he's a fun actor, and I've liked him for a while. So, but Rey, I'm hands down with you on Rey. Great, energetic, exciting character who I will follow. I'm excited to follow for more stories. A little worried about how quickly she gains the Force, but you know, I'm sure you've heard the geekery kicked around on that, but it is true that she masters a lot in one movie. You know, it took Luke Skywalker 3, and he had his failure moments in The Empire Strikes Back, which I'm sure she'll have hers, but it was rather quick to garner the Force like that. And then, of course, John Boyega having any lightsaber skills was kind of odd. So that's where the geekery and that kind of stuff all day. But as far as the characters go, right. Rey, then I'll watch him do more.
Now, I will get into, I guess, not a theory, I guess. It's part of Star Wars canon as to why there are certain holes and those holes are answered. And I think it was something Paul had mentioned to me that irritates him about kind of this Star Wars experience. And we'll get into that in a couple of questions. But Kevin, your thoughts on, I guess, this kind of new good guy trilogy of Poe, Daisy, and
Finn. I think I'm like everybody. You want to see the old characters, but once these guys came on, like I said, bring me the new guys. I think Daisy really is a star. I think she carries the movie. I think she out-acts Mark Hamill in the last 30 seconds. She looks real. He probably did 30 takes with JJ and had to rub his eyes so they turned red and he kind of cheeseballed it a little bit, and I still love him. But she out-acted everybody in that movie. She was fantastic. I have no problem with the Force thing. It moves different through different people. I can accept all that. John Boyega was great. And this is maybe being nitpicky, but you get trained your whole life to be a trooper and some sort of killer. You go on one mission and you have no PTSD. You turn into shucking and jiving Raj from what's happening when you got Phasma.
Yep.
Like, he should have had some PTSD moments, like maybe put a knife to Solo's throat or had a flashback with Rey, like I'm still kind of in trooper mode. But he was fantastic. They were great. I thought they were just so much fun to watch. And Oscar Isaac was also great. And I agree, there were some gaps there.
Yeah.
But it's funny how the whole time you can't wait to see the old folks, but now I can care less. Show me the new folks.
It was almost go ahead, Kev.
I can't believe how good Daisy Ridley was. I've never really liked female heroine characters, to be honest, just being a guy, I guess. But
yeah,
she's the one that,
man,
I will buy the action figure and I will follow her and I will, like, she is ultimate badass. And if any of this movie isn't very good, she's the one thing that can keep this franchise going to where we all want to see it go.
Oh yeah, I'm sci-fi crushing on her now. She's definitely moved up a notch on the sci-fi crush list, the Women Crush Wednesday, whatever you want to call it. But no, like, with my opinions on the three of them, definitely Oscar Isaac, Poe Dameron. I did miss him because he did kind of give you that swashbuckling, cocky, I would dare not to say Han Solo-esque, but he gave you kind of almost a different look because this guy wasn't countercultural. He wasn't a smuggler. He was a part of the rebellion / resistance, and he was just a damn good pilot. You know, and he came across, he had very good comedic lines. The initial when they're
back. Is that my jacket?
I don't know if that's your jacket.
That was great.
when he's looking face to face with
For the Kylo. Record, I don't know how you fly out of a TIE fighter and leave your jacket behind, but go ahead.
I know, I wouldn't.
I don't know how you throw it from it and
but
leave
like
it
the face to face with him and Kylo, where he's like, okay, who's supposed to talk first? Is it me or like that? I mean, it kind of threw me off because
I've
never experienced that kind of humor in a Star Wars movie where it's not like, you know, fuzzy little Ewok jumping around type thing. It's a smart assy kind of humor. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a change of pace a little bit. And that's kind of nice to see. And I think I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. Hopefully he carries, definitely be in the movie longer than he was in Force Awakens. Of course, we're all crushing on Daisy Ridley and Rey. Definitely there are some questions there. We'll get into speculation shortly. My big issue, and I agree with Kevin on this, regarding John Boyega and Finn, yes, and there was a lot of big-eyed, feats don't fail me now moments with John Boyega, which I didn't really like. There was a lot of sweating like Patrick Ewing in the 93, you know, in the playoff game. There was a lot of sweating, a lot of big eyes, and a lot of panicking for not.
If he doesn't, if he doesn't catch his breath in episode 8.
I'm surprised he didn't hyperventilate. I mean, as much as he was panting, I'm like, you know, it would be one thing if this was a resistance fighter who had been working on some, you know, planet doing this. This is a train. Like we said, this was a trained Force Order trooper.
Right.
You know, like, there should be an element of cool there. Now, let's before I go into...
Well, he's in sanitation.
Yeah, sanitation. However, and
why? Because it's a joke.
exactly. I was wondering for Han to say, "What, you're a garbage man?" But I don't think they have that term. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. But it was kind of like that scene in "I'm Going to Get You, Sucker," where Kenan Ivory Wayne says, "You know, I was working administrative," and he got the guy's like, "You were a secretary." You know, it's like I was waiting for Han to be like, "You're a trash man." You know, like boom, ha ha ha. Let's laugh at Finn. You know, but. Okay, let's, before we go
right after that scene though, if I may,
go ahead.
He says, he doesn't know how to blow up all the stuff he's supposed to blow up because he's just sanitation. He's there for the girl.
Yeah.
He's there to save Rey, which Han then says, you know, a lot of people are counting on you. And it's true. He does kind of, then you kind of go, wow, he's really selfish here and he should become a lot less likable, but that doesn't seem to fit in
it. Yeah. Because then he makes it all better when he says, you know, Han's asking, okay, what's the plan? I don't know. We're going to use the Force. And Han's like, it doesn't work that way. You know,
that was a good line.
That kind of brings
a great line. So luckily they countered. Yeah, they right countered with that.
Yeah. And here's the thing. Before we go into Kylo Ren, and let's go into Kylo Ren, and then we'll talk about the other things, because we're bringing up another statement question discussion we're going to have in a second. But your thoughts on the new bad guy, Kylo Ren, emo Kylo, emo Ben Solo, whoever you want to call him. Paul, we'll jump. We'll Darth give it to Emo. You first.
For me?
Yeah, we'll give it to you first.
Go ahead, Kev. You know what? I liked it all. I was good with it. When he stopped the blaster fire in midair, it was badass. He had
super
cool
badass
skills. When he was punching himself in the ribs when he got hurt, gave you a real dark, like, emo sense. And that's the only reason Boyega could even hang with him in the lightsaber duel, because he was hurt. When he took off his mask, though, I didn't need to see disfigurement. I would like to have seen something a little different. I'd like to have kept his voice modulator somewhat a little bit deeper. I think the first time through, I liked him. I think the second time through, I liked him even more. I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was good. And when he had the temper tantrums and the stormtroopers walk up, they're like, fuck that. They walk away.
Hilarious.
Good Star Wars stuff there. I think it was good. And when he called him Ben, that was cool to know his name was Ben. And I'm excited to see where he goes. And hopefully General Hux picked up Phasma and picked up Kylo when shit was going down. And those three are going to be the seeds of the next one for the bad guys. So I liked it. And if you go on Twitter and follow Emo Kylo Ren, is the funniest shit on the internet right now.
Definitely. Definitely. Paul, your thoughts on Kylo Ren, Ben Solo?
Well, Phasma's a big nothing, and I fear Phasma couldn't be a future or anything because they threw her in a trash compactor again because drunk.
Right.
But I like Ren in that Joaquin Phoenix and Gladiator kind of way. Mm-hmm. He's kind of whiny. It's interesting to see someone like who's not a Sith Lord and a complete control of everything and kind of struggle and as well. So that part was cool. And I like Adam Driver as an actor.
Yeah.
So again, I hope for big things.
I definitely liked him. I think the character was pretty cool, and I liked the fact. Yeah, I did not want to see disfigurement. I wanted to see he's coming to the point. Remember, he's not. I guess to our understanding, he might not be necessarily a Sith Lord, or even he's still learning the trade in a way. You know, it looks like maybe he just recently turned, and maybe the killing of his father was that last final straw to help him turn to the other side. Him being somewhat maimed, I'm not sure exactly what damage he received in the battle with Finn and Rey, maybe that will create a little bit more of this kind of disfigurement to the point where he becomes his grandfather, which he obviously wants to be. He's the super Darth Vader fanboy. I like just his body type to sound kind of odd. You know, while Vader was kind of this hulking mass of a person, you can tell like Kylo, Adam Driver, is a very lean person. It's a very different look. It's almost cartoonish in a way how lean he is. Just walk with me on that one. Like I just felt even the mask, everything about him kind of gave this Disney-esque villain, like the Jafars, the Scars. Every single one of the Disney villains have a certain body type, a certain like slope about them, a kind of skinny slope about them, which I think Adam Driver pulled off well. I love
his idea.
Oh, go ahead.
It gives him credit as an actor along with Daisy Ridley when she was trying to read her mind and she was fighting him. You put that scene, if me and you try to do that scene, we look like a couple of idiots. I'm fine.
Oh, yeah. We're just staring at each other.
Yeah. They made it pretty freaking real. Yeah. So, testament to them. I think they both did good.
Yeah. He had great emotion. And remember, we're dealing with, for the most part, you skip the prequels and you go with the classic trilogy. You didn't have those emotional faces because Darth Vader was behind a mask. So you want to see the bad guy show a little of emotion, show some confusion, and show some fear. That was great. And I think his emotion level was great. I think this was something that a lot of people have said they wished Hayden Christensen could have adopted for Anakin Skywalker as he turned to the dark side. Like, he does not give a crap. He doesn't like the situation. He's going to start breaking shit up. Like, he's kind of this petulant child still learning the ways of the dark side. Like, he's not a master. When things go all Rey, he's throwing a fit and breaking shit. So I kind of like that idea of him. He was a very cool, calculated character, and I'm looking forward in the future. Now, let's jump into, we can talk about Phasma later or whoever, but let's talk about one of the things Paul had mentioned to me when I first watched it. There's a lot of questions in this movie. Some of them cannot be answered. Some of them will be answered in episode 8, and some are answered in supplemental material. Now, there are comic books, there are other books involved that kind of give you a nice backstory for a lot of the things that occurred in this movie. Paul, you told me you weren't about that kind of stuff. So and then Kevin, as an owner of a comic book store, I bet there's going to be a little bit of a conflict here when you guys say this. So, Paul, your thoughts on like the holes that need to be filled by someone either reading a graphic novel, reading a visual dictionary, or whatever. You know, your thoughts on having this additional task that you must complete in order to get a better understanding of this movie.
I don't need it. You know, I just need the movies. I never watched Clone Wars, never read the comics. I went as a kid, I think I read like a couple of Han Solo at Star's End and Han Solo's Revenge and a couple of those, I think they were Brian Daley books about his further adventures. But, you know, having to fill in gaps, you know, even the screenplay apparently that has now been released in order to get Oscar consideration fills in a bunch of gaps about things, explains some of the visions that Rey sees with her, when she grabs Luke's lightsaber and names certain places. And then, you know, people went to find out, well, what is that place? And I guess they have some significance in the greater universe. I didn't understand any of it.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have to do that. I don't think the movie heavily relies on that. You know, if there's greater understanding to be had, I'm just going to live in
right.
As a duck guy, I guess.
Kevin, your thoughts now. Kevin, your thoughts.
Shattered
Empire from your store.
Yeah, I haven't read everything, but I remember younger reading Timothy Zahn, Splinter of the Mind's Eye, and all those, you know, the Star Wars canon where Han and Leia get married and have two Jedi twins. And everybody was really hoping we'd see that. And he said, no, we're going to kind of stay away from that. Kind of like Walking Dead pulls from a little bit from the comic books. But I think it's a pretty cool world we live in, because I think all three of us consume media in one form or another. I think it's cool that that stuff is available. I think it's cool that that stuff is there for debate. And I think if you want to play geek scientist and go figure out more about Jakku, like there's Star Wars Shattered Empire comic books out right now. We're selling a ton of them, which talk about the story of Poe Dameron's parents. And there's a couple little tiny Easter eggs they drop that you go, oh, I get it. But it's nothing groundbreaking. It's nothing for someone like Paul that doesn't read those. It doesn't give you any super details or any spoilers, but I think if you're one of those super fans that like to consume the different media, I think it's kind of cool that it's out there, as long as they treat it with respect and they don't want the average moviegoer, you know, like, oh, you got to go read this or you're not going to get episode 8. Screw that. But if you say, go read this and you'll have a different understanding, or you'll just expand your mind for episode 8, I think that's okay. So there's some cool stuff out there. There's some junk out there too. But there's some really cool books out there too, so I like it.
When you talk about Heir to the Empire and, you know, Luke and or Han and Leia growing into these great, you know, leaders and having the Jedi twins, it's a shame that we didn't see that. Like, that's just an overall thing. Wow, me, I didn't get what I wanted. But I would love to have seen, especially when you have a young bad guy like Kylo Ren who has temper tantrums and all that. I would like to see him more struggle to rebuild the Empire than we already start with the Empire or whatever the First Order is, and he's struggling running it. I would rather see him like, okay, look, when we last left off, everybody was happy. Well, now this guy's going to screw that up. And I much more would rather have seen that, I think, than what we have, based on the fact that what we have is not as...
Yeah, I mean, how are they going to...
I did like as much as I wanted to.
Right, how are they going to rebuild? It would be cool to see, like, Kylo Ren in an escape pod land on a planet and hook up with some First Order remote troops and have them start constructing a base and having them constructing a fleet, and where do they build the ships, and here comes the rebellion, rather than episode 8 opens up with, you know, like a newly built, if they open up with a newly built Death Star, it's over. You know what I mean? I think you're right. Let's see the struggle. That would be very cool.
He kills General Han Solo, the head of the rebel, whatever they would, wouldn't be, you know, wouldn't he be rebels now, the head of the Republic, that would mean even more in the grand scheme of things. Sadly, Han just walks out on the bridge and dies, and they don't even have a parade for him or anything. Vader got a bigger send-off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I know Paul's working on borrowed time here. He's working the San Diego Auto Show, correct?
Correct, and I'm in the Great Hall here where they hold Comic-Con, and no doubt where there will be plenty of Kylo Rens and Reys and First Order troopers next July.
Definitely. Wanted to talk to you guys. Feel free to throw out your top two or three holes from this movie that you just don't know. You're like, big questions. We already mentioned, how is Rey so force sensitive, and how is Rey force sensitive? Number one, and that goes into speculation. And number two, how was she able to achieve so much within the bookends of this movie? So you go ahead, Paul. You go first. Give me a couple of the head scratching moments, and then Kevin, you can offer yours.
Okay.
Well, I think they just do a lot. You know, movies today move faster. You know, and how much can we get accomplished? You know, plus they do feel like they got a lot to do to win you back as an audience member, and perhaps her grief win over Kylo in that scene is well, you know, we have you cheering. So yeah, let's put it in. But you know, I think back to when Lucas made his movie, and his contemporaries were, you know, Coppola and Scorsese and De Palma, and there were shades of like David Lean in that movie. And even when it's like 20 minutes and nothing but robots, it feels too like Kubrick kind of. That time just isn't taken anymore. So I think we move things along. If she's got the force, boom, let's go, next movie. You know,
yeah,
that could be how they think without even thinking that they're thinking that way. If you know what I mean, this is how movies move now.
All right, Kevin.
I'm trying to think. I had no problem with her being that good, that fast, so to speak. Like you said, movies move along. I thought it was cool how they did it. Even when she practiced the Jedi mind trick on the Stormtrooper, which was still a gag, it gave us some insight. I was okay. That really didn't bother me. There were other holes that bothered me more. One of the biggest ones was all this hype on Phasma, that she was a badass, and we didn't get to see much, and you stick a gun in her face, and she turns off the deflector shields for the entire base. And then, do they put her in the trash compactor? I thought that was a hole. I think Poe Dameron, how he got out of the TIE fighter, like we mentioned, was a bigger hole. Yeah, the Force stuff didn't bother me. I was okay with it. Again, we still got to remember, it's a movie, and now it's Disney, so it's still aimed at kids, but he pulled in us 40-year-olds as well as best he could. So I think sometimes you got to just let the suspension of disbelief go, as much as we love to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, I think episode 8, we will learn a little more about Rey's background. Thus, when you go back in a flashback of, you know, that scene, perhaps Kylo triggered something within her, you know, that she would already had been trained or something. Like, there's enough there where you can maneuver a different storyline there, saying, okay, this is who she is. Kylo jumped into her brain and kickstarted something, and boom, stuff started just flying out of her. She didn't know how to control all of it, you know. She's, you know, but some of the stuff she did, we already knew that she was very decent with hand-to-hand combat. And we know that Kylo is not a true Sith Lord, barely probably even an apprentice at this point. He's just learning his way. I think one of the things they mentioned in, you know, the news building up to the movie was the lightsaber fights in this movie were not going to be as stylistic as the prequels. It's not going to be this like beautiful dance with laser sticks. Like, Kylo was just going to be chopping wood most of the time. So, like, with that being said, perhaps he doesn't have all his skill. Maybe his skills are different. Maybe his skills are more pulling information out of your brain as opposed to hand-to-hand combat.
I remember Chewie shot him, so he was hurt, and I can take that. And Boyega was trained as a stormtrooper, so he's got to have some hand-to-hand skills. So, again, I'm okay with that one.
And with that being said, the supplemental material, there's a book, I think it's called Before the Awakening or something. It's it actually breaks down Rey, Finn, and Poe's backstory a little bit. It doesn't go into too much with Rey. A lot of with Rey is still kind of cloudy. But with Finn, they do say he was quite adept as a stormtrooper, which even confuses me more, because in the simulations, he did great. He was actually like a squad leader and all these other things. Even in hand-to-hand combat, he was very adept, which even confused me more when I see him coming out there in the very, you know, first two scenes or whatever, and he loses it in the field of battle. Like, he was in the simulations. He did well. I understand simulation isn't real, but for him to be so highly regarded in this book, for him to simply, you know, like I said, feats don't fail me now, it really kind of threw me off a little bit. Like, there's no transition. Like, I assumed we would get something where, you know, this is the way he is. I know both you got to go. Let's get into quick speculation, the biggest speculation now. Paul, your thoughts. Who is Rey?
Man, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Put your money down. Put your money down, and we'll see you in a year and a half. Well, who is Rey? Put your money down now.
Probably. I mean, it seems like it's a family thing. So, if Leia's kid has it, so that's got to be Luke's kid, right? Or it's Han and Leia's, and there's some big secret that would make all their interactions in this movie very strange, because they should have known who she was. Or,
exactly.
You know, but the worst part of all of it is, if she was left on a desert planet so she would be safe from evil forces, then yay, you've borrowed that too.
Yeah. Okay. Kevin?
So hopefully that's not the case.
Who is right?
A couple schools of thought. I think it's pretty obvious that it's Luke's. However, when she touched the lightsaber, you actually hear Ben Kenobi's voice.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be the Ben Kenobi theory. I'm hoping that Luke and Mara Jade, from the written material in the canon, got together. Somehow Luke disappeared, doesn't even know he has a kid. Mara Jade had her and had to leave, or something happened, and then Luke figures it out later. That would be a cool take on it. If it's Han and Leia's kid, I'm going to be upset because that's kind of lame. However, Han was very quick to offer her a job on the Falcon and took to her very quickly.
Yeah.
So that was weird. So again, I like the way he ended it because you don't have a good answer and it leaves people talking. We'll see. But if I had to bet, it's going to be Luke's kid.
I'm thinking.
Yes and no, because if you're right, then that becomes interesting down the line. But right now, Han offering a job was just like, are we killing 5 minutes? Don't we have things to do?
Right.
In this movie, if later another movie makes this movie better, I welcome it.
Now, I think. Yep. Real quick, my three options. Luke, I think it's too easy. It should be there, but it's too easy. Hopefully, it's a great story. Han and Leia, really confusing because, yeah, the whole idea, there's not one mention. I mean, I mention to my kid all the time that I'm his father. You know, there's no mention this entire time with Han and Rey are sitting in the room like, hey, you know, your mother's doing all right. You know, anything like that. Everyone's gotten mind wiped. My last one, and this is one that's been kind of thrown around there. I'm not exactly sure biologically and romantically how this happens, but she could be a Kenobi. You know?
Right.
She could be a Kenobi. So let's just throw that one out there. I put my money down on Kenobi just because it's so far out the way. Han and Leia with the kid, that's already been done. That's canon, or I guess that's legend or whatever they call the archives. That's not even canon anymore.
Right.
If it's Luke's, and that's kind of easy. It's kind of a slam dunk. I don't think they're going to have us sit here for a year and a half, assuming and kind of knowing that it's Luke's kid.
Right. You
know, I think they want to keep some surprises with us.
Here's something that blew my mind recently. If you're trying to hide Luke from Darth Vader, why do you put him on the planet where Darth Vader grew up and name him Skywalker? Anyway, that's for another movie.
Yeah. That's how Paul Preston of the Movie Guys ends the review period right there. Fantastic. I know you guys have to run. You guys, Paul, best of luck over at the San Diego Auto Show. Please, real quick, plug your stuff.
TheMovieGuys.net, at TheMovieGuys on Twitter, and Facebook.com/TheMovieGuys.
These are awesome guys. Definitely check them out. I just finished doing a to and from movie review of Concussion for them. So hopefully that
will be posted soon. And yes, everything on iTunes as well.
Fantastic. And now, Kevin, please plug all the stuff that you're doing. It's way too much.
Well, if you're in Northern Virginia, go to the Ashburn Pub, theashburnpub.com. Comic book store is comiclogicva.com. And if you go to my website, kevinbednarz.com, that's BEDNARZ. I'm launching for 2016 my own YouTube channel where I'm loading 365 video blogs a day. So I have to put one up every day about what I'm doing, kind of a day in the life of running two businesses, talking comics and cocktails. So that's the big thing I'm pushing. And I definitely want to get both you guys on that this year because I got a lot of episodes to fill up. So
definitely.
As in the Ashburn Pub, of course, has been featured in Hater Nation to and froms when they go from a movie for the Movie Guys.
Yes,
and looks like a great place. I can't wait to get there myself.
I got Yama banged up the other night for New Year's. So
I saw Ali a little banged up. Look, he sent me a picture of him looking real stupid.
Yep.
Guys, all the best. Thank you so much for jumping in on
this. Mike,
I thought this was going to be a great idea because I got a movie guy, I had a comic book guy. Let's put it all together and let's have some fun with it.
I like him.
This was great.
We'll do this again sometime.
Let's do it again
soon.
For Captain America Civil War.
Oh, definitely. Done. All right, guys. Be good. See ya.
All right, MC.
See ya.
All right, cool. Well, that was it, man. Check it out. That was the Movie Guys Comic Logic Hater Nation mashup. Hope you get more of those in 2016, man. I want to throw some more people in this whole fire that we call the Hater Nation. So check us out. This is our first podcast of 2016. Haternation.podbean.com for strictly the podcast stuff. TheHaterNationShow.com for a lot of other things that we do. At The Hater Nation on Twitter and The Hater Nation on Facebook. See ya. Roll Tide. Too much Bama in us. Hit our music.
We celebrate a day of peace.